across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning, March 22nd, 2024, and it's a beautiful, beautiful, white, snowy, Christmassy day to have you here up north. If you're indoors, you know, if you're out on the roads, it's a little less beautiful. So please be careful out there. Live from Lake Wissota, wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network through the app or social media or by podcast, it's nice to have you along on this, what is it, third or fourth day of spring, when Greg Bach is going to tell me that it looks a little little different out there. And I believe Paul McCartney put it to music one time when describing the environment.
Deal with it.
The things I do for you, man. The things I do for you.
Did you hear me accidentally play it before?
Yes, I did.
Darn it.
Yeah. Everybody's favorite Christmas carol.
Love that song.
Except mine.
Oh, well.
All right. How was your drive down there from Kenosha to Waukesha?
Absolutely miserable. Brittany Merlot, Civic Media Zone meteorologist, Brittany Merlot was correct. And where I'm living in Kenosha, it was a light dusting, more with rain. So it really wasn't that bad. But once I hit about the airport, it got bad. There was plows out. There was salting happening. But once I hit Waukesha, I'm not kidding you, the plows were coming down 894, mm-hmm. and then they got to the Beloit exits, which led you to 43 South, and they all stopped, and they went into Milwaukee up, and they left sure. it all. So Waukesha, from when I got there, highway, back roads, residential roads, nothing is touched.
Get it together, Waukesha.
It is.
Let's do this.
Please, if you are listening to this and you are in the Waukesha area, drive carefully, leave the house earlier if you need to be somewhere, or if you don't, just stay home.
Yeah. Hey, start your long weekend. I mean, you got basketball to watch, right? Although, for you see this, but the listeners on the radio can't. Do you know what the sound of the day is here? That's the sound of your brackets, boys and girls.
That's your brackets.
Three 11s won yesterday.
You're
over,
just done.
Over sixes. Three. What's that?
You're just done. You're like, I'm
just done. Look, no, nobody's going to have a perfect bracket again. Oh, darn. No, you got three 11s beating six seeds, and you had a 14 beating Kentucky, a three seed. And that came from what I'm reading here. I did not watch the game, but I'm seeing that the whole reason that the third seed Kentucky went down to a 14 is because of a kid from Pewaukee Lake named Jack Golke, who now plays for Oakland University, which had this huge 80-76 upset last night over Kentucky. Golke attended Pewaukee High School. He hit 7 of 13 three-pointers in just the first half, breaking the single game record for the most three-pointers by a Kentucky opponent in the tournament. And you know, led Oakland to that big upset. So local kid done good.
Can we just talk about sports for a brief second and
sure.
how?
Guess what? We're here. Go for it.
The one thing about sports that blows my mind, and this is the thing about baseball that I just will never be able to get my brain around or really be that into, are not the stats of like he's hit more home runs or he's dunked more baskets. It's this guy has sunk more three-pointers against a Kentucky team in the tournament, in the first half. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You got a record, but it's a real specific record.
So much data out there now. And, you know, it's easier to spit out than ever before. So you get these. I mean, I'm a baseball fan, but some of these baseball stats now, I couldn't possibly tell you how they're calculated. And you know who you blame for all this? Brad Pitt. Because Moneyball was such a good movie, and it was all about how the analytics are all the thing now, and it's how you get statistics like that.
Yeah,
it gives you something to talk about.
But Moneyball still slaps. It's a great movie.
If you are taking the day off for basketball, a reminder that number 2 Marquette will be playing 15 seed Western Kentucky at 1 o'clock this afternoon. That game's in Indianapolis. And then the Badgers, in a 5-12 game, they will be playing 12 seed James Madison at 8:40 tonight in Brooklyn. So a 9:40 start Eastern time out there in New York. But that Badger game, you can hear it starting at 7:30. Coverage begins on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. News from the center in Richland Center, Lake Air and Amory, WRJN in Racine. Some of you may be doing other things. It's Friday. There's probably a comedy club or two that you could go to. Greg, maybe you know of one?
Only one, Pat.
Only one.
One comedy club to rule them all. Yes, this weekend.
What would that be? What is this mystical, magical club?
This weekend at the Laughing Tap, we've got Casey Shornema. And the reason why I can tell you that SNL will be a repeat or not a new episode tomorrow is because Casey Shornema is a writer on SNL.
Oh, okay.
And she will be doing 3 shows this weekend, 1 tonight and 2 tomorrow. And tickets are still available. I believe the Saturday show is nearly sold out, Saturday early. So you can come out tonight or you can come out for the late show on Saturday night. All tickets are $22 online, $25 at the door. No drink minimum. So it's a pretty affordable night of comedy to see a SNL like staff member here. And then actually in a couple of weeks, we'll be having SNL performer Michael Longfellow at the club.
So we get the
heavy hitters, my friend.
Yes, you do.
So yeah, my it's gonna be fun. Casey is very, very funny. She is incredibly nice, just got a great wit about her, and I'm looking forward to having her back at the club.
That's great. Yeah. So quite a lineup that you have comedy wise. Yeah. And on this snowy day, it's a good time to remind people that a different kind of lineup was announced yesterday, Summerfest.
Oh, that's so right.
We get, again, on a snowy morning, we have the big gig to look forward to as folks all over the state will make their way to Milwaukee over the summer. The A-listers include Maroon 5, Tyler Childers, let's see, Kane Brown, Motley Crue, Keith Urban, and more. Okay, you're not going to Motley Crue concert? No. Or was that for Motley Crue or Keith Urban?
It was for Motley Crue. Okay. Like, they should have just hung it up. They retired. They, like, did their last tour years ago. Vince Neil cannot sing.
Mm-hmm.
Get a different singer. I'll go see him if they have a different singer, but he does not provide value.
I was
going
to say, look at Journey. Journey's still touring. Yeah. Steve Perry got put out to pasture a long time ago. It happens.
Are you a Summerfest guy? Do you make the trip down?
I've only been a couple of times, but it's not for lack of, I love it. I wish I could go more often. There's just usually, you know, when you're this far away up mm-hmm. in the Chippewa Valley,
yeah.
you know, it takes a little more planning to get down there. But when we lived down there, when our family was very young, when Sherry was going to medical school,
yeah.
Summerfest was an annual thing. Now, again, that's 30 years back, but I'm sure we would enjoy it, you know, every bit as much, if not more so.
Yeah. Back then you'd be like, we're just going to drive down for the day and then maybe stay over, but we could drive through the night. We're fine. Nowadays you're like, I got to take 3 days, get 2 hotel rooms. I got to just,
yes.
And have a day of recovery. And you just can't yes. do that anymore.
No, you cannot.
Yeah.
So Summerfest this year will be the weekends of June 20th, June 27th and July 4th, I believe is.
Yeah.
Well, let me get that right.
Yeah.
Well, I might 20th. It's a long lineup here. 20, 21. 22. Oh my God. I can't even get to all of this. There's so much scrolling that I have to do here. So yeah, check it out online for the full lineup and give you something nice to think about on such a snowy day, which raises the question. I don't know how much is eventually going to fall, but we've talked about it a few times. Are we shoveling this or nah?
Luckily, I don't have to.
Yeah. Yay renting. That's the one thing when you buy that first home, it's like our daughters used to joke when things would break in the apartments, you know, if we needed something fixed, it's like, you know, tell them that, you know, the maintenance man would come fix it. The man will come fix it. And then we got a house and something broke and they're like, well, the man come fix it. And I'm like, I'm the man.
Yeah.
And I clearly am going to have to take a longer time to fix this than the previous man.
Yeah.
But we'll get it done one way or another. So, oh, another thing along with Summerfest. Do you know what else? It brings me such joy every year to get. I was at a local retail establishment and the little paper schedule for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Oh, you know, I need my magnet.
The trifold thing and the magnets. Yeah, the magnet schedule sure is there too. But there's just something about... Kind of like some people still like having a newspaper in their hands.
Yeah.
I like having this paper brewer schedule so that I know when they're playing.
For those not watching on the live stream, Pat is currently shaking a brewer schedule in the camera. Like,
look at this. This is, and plus you get to find out all the Giannis jersey giveaway.
Yep.
Is on April 6th. There's a City Connect Hawaiian shirt day on July 27th. A puffy vest on September 21st.
That's not going to be high quality.
It reminds me, though, and I saw this post again recently. How do I know I lived in the good old days? Because back in my day, you could trust 20,000 kids with an actual size Major League Louisville Slugger on bat day and not feel like somebody was going to die of a concussion or an attack. We had bat day. I tell younger people that now. They're like, they gave out bats? Well, like mini bats, right? No, full-size Louisville Sluggers.
I mean, you're right. You're absolutely right. They should not be giving those out. But let's all just admit something, that a bobblehead can cause blunt force trauma. So...
a bobblehead can go in all kinds of places, you know, to cause trouble. Sure. Look, anything you can, but full-size bats, that was always the best. And the kids would start, we'd start pounding that, you know, on the stadium floor and just get the place rocking. Those were the days, kids.
And now, that's been your note from Grandpa Pat.
We're going to go back now.
And we liked it back then.
Schedule. That's just how we liked it, absolutely. At the 6:18, let's take a quick look at sports here. Damian Lillard had his third straight game with at least 30 points as the Milwaukee Bucks capitalized on Giannis's return to beat the Brooklyn Nets 115-108 on Thursday night. The Bucks' next game is Sunday evening at home against Oklahoma City. You can catch that game on Oshkosh Air Support, News from the Center, in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, and locally grown radio WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. We jumped so hard into the weather and the sports, didn't even tell you what else was coming up today, where we're going to be hearing from Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil in 15 minutes or so. Mark Jacob in our next hour, talking about weasel words. Why won't the media just say things as they are? That and so much more ahead on this Friday morning, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin. When you're here, you're up north. Back in a bit on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy birthday wishes to George Benson, who turns 81 years old today, and gave us one of those, landmark little light rock, a little bit of crossover soft jazz hits with Breezin' back in the day. As Greg sways to the music, you can't help it, you know? Again, on a snowy day like this, you just want to hear George's guitar as it comes up here.
Just come on.
I know, smooth.
Oh, I'm going to download his greatest hits right now.
You should. A couple more tunes from George Benson along the way on this Friday morning on Up North News Radio. Let's give the phone number out, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. Would love to know, have you called in just to say where you're at, how much snow you got, what the roads are looking like. And if you're shy that way, text it. That same number is how you text us, 855-75-CIVIC. There is another way to text us, and that is through the Civic Media app. If you haven't downloaded that app yet, change that. Go get that app on your phone and be part of, you know, the contest that we have going on right now, the Ride into Spring Text to Win statewide contest coming up at 7:07. I'm going to give you today's keyword. You're going to go to the Civic Media app, pull up any one of the radio stations on the app, use the text button to text the station, and then text today's keyword. You'll be entered for an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells, grand prizes that include bicycles, outdoor patio furniture, and much more. So stick around. 7:07 is when we'll do that as well. In the news today, did you, I don't know if you heard about this. I mean, this has got people really upset. Imagine Hunter Biden being given control of the Democratic National Committee, and all donations to Democrats will go to lawyers instead of helping Democratic candidates, will go to lawyers working for Hunter Biden in the midst of this criminal investigation against him. Wait, I'm sorry, I'm being told that's not Hunter Biden and the Democratic Party. It's the Trump family and the Republican Party. Ah, yes. Yes, here it is now. There was just a typo on the script where it said Hunter Biden. It was supposed to say the Trump family, because there's been a new arrangement made with the Republican National Committee that a portion of donations that go to the newly formed Trump 47 fundraising committee to save America will be used to cover Donald Trump's legal bills. It's this is not normal, folks. It's not normal. If you're giving to a candidate, that's fine. You know that they may do all kinds of things with it. When you give to a party, you're expecting that your donation is going to be used to get Democrats or Republicans elected up and down the line. You would not want the Biden family taking over the Democratic National Committee any more so than you would want the Trump family taking over, because again, it's always one big grift. It's one big money grab. And I'm sad at the number of, you know, sweet little old ladies and other well-meaning people who felt like they were helping to save America and make America great by sending in their check for $25 or, you know, $250. And that's a lot for them. But they think that, you know, Donald Trump, that nice young man, this is the way to go. It's not the way to go. It's going to pay his lawyers for his many legal cases against him. One of them that was especially in the news yesterday and continues to be is Donald Trump's effort to find money, not just for the legal bills, but now to pay for his bond if he wants to appeal the judgment against him in that civil fraud case, you know, where he was running his business fraudulently. He was inflating the value of properties for selling purposes, but deflating the value of properties for tax purposes. Doing it to such an extent, you couldn't look the other way. You couldn't not file criminal charges because it was so egregious. And now he's been, you know, found guilty in that civil fraud case. If he wants to appeal, he's got to put up the money first. That's $464 million was the judgment against him. And this so-called billionaire is having a tough time scraping together $500 million. Apparently, $500 million doesn't go as far as it used to. And more than 30 different entities, whether it's banks, insurance companies, hedge funds, whatever, have already told Trump no, as Trump's lawyers told the judge this week. And as a result, the judge in this case is now warning that he wants to see any details on the Trump organization's attempts to secure a bond in this civil fraud case. Why is that? Because it's one thing to write a check or to put up liquid cash. It's another thing to put up your properties as bond. But how much are those properties really worth? Remember, the whole thing that got him in trouble for this was inflating the value of his property. So they may very well be leveraged. They may very well have loans out against them right now, which makes them a little bit less valuable as Trump tries to post his bond. And of course, there's the foreign angle to it of, you know, who does he turn to get this money? Does he turn to the Saudis? Does he turn to Russian oligarchs? Does he turn to some other foreign entities? And should a major party candidate for president be financially in debt to either hostile nations or other foreign entities? Same questions we asked 4 years ago. I get that. But the questions are still valid here, because you want to know, whose side is Donald Trump on? And clearly, given all that he has said to try to undo the NATO alliance, all that he's done to undo free and fair elections in the United States, it's pretty clear to see where he lies in terms of defending America versus defending the Trump organization. And he's going to go with the Trump organization every single time. So remember that when you're writing that checkout, just think, is this, would I write a checkout to Hunter Biden? Would I write a checkout to Jared Kushner, who got reportedly $2 billion from the Saudis to start his own hedge fund after the presidency? Because, of course, that doesn't buy any access. That doesn't smack like a quid pro quo at all, does it? Of course it does. And that's why the judge wants to be extremely careful on this, because if he can't post the bond, then yeah, Trump Tower won't belong to Trump along with several other properties. That's called consequences. That's the consequences of not playing by the rules that everybody else has to play when you're paying your taxes, when you're buying and selling your properties. No one person's above the law. No matter how much he tries to put himself above the law, he can't do that. It's as simple as that. Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz said Thursday she will not recuse herself from a case dealing with the legality of mobile voting sites. A conservative law firm, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, filed a lawsuit back in December of 2022 saying that city officials illegally used a voting van to collect absentee ballots around the city that year. The court has yet to decide whether to take the case. If Protasiewicz were to recuse herself for some reason, then it could be that that case deadlocks at 3-3. But Protasiewicz said Thursday, she said she can act impartially in the case. And I have no desire to act impartially on this case. When we're talking about voting, again, there's only one political class, political party in this country dedicated to suppressing votes, to not making it easy for American citizens to vote. And you see that in cases like this. Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kiev Akil joins us on the other side. This is Up North News Radio. Back now at 6:34 on this Friday morning, Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil joins us as always this week to go through some of the headlines. Kia, how are you today?
I'm pretty well, Pat. How about yourself?
Very good, thank you. Let's jump right into it here, because there's a contrast that you can make here with what the Biden administration is looking to do and who they're looking out for, versus what House Republicans say they would do if they could run the world. And so let's start on the Biden end that's looking out for consumers. And the latest thing deals with a monopoly type lawsuit against Apple over the iPhone. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so this is something that's been, you know, kind of percolating for a little while now. But on Thursday, the Justice Department and 16 states and Washington, D.C. filed an antitrust lawsuit against Apple, basically alleging that the company violated antitrust laws because of the way they have, you know, created, marketed, and sold the iPhone in a way to keep people reliant on them and make it virtually impossible to switch to another device. And, you know, basically, you know, if you're in a group chat with someone with an Android, you know, it's kind of not a user-friendly process and things like that. They're, you know, Apple products like the digital wallet, which can't be used on other, you know, on Droids. Basically things like this. They're alleging that Apple has created a device that basically requires people to continue using it and not switch, and that therefore they can make a ton more money by allegedly violating antitrust laws.
Oh, it's so the case for me. I mean, I was an early user of Apple Macintosh, you know, MacBooks and iMacs and things like that. So it only made sense to get an iPhone. But then I was a Samsung, a Galaxy customer for a while. This was several years back, and I thought I would actually prefer this for a phone. But I'm already kind of in the cult of Apple. I've got a watch here that depends on it. I've got the phone, I've got the AirTags. Yeah. Even if I wanted to try some other devices, it would be just a huge pain. And that's the kind of anti-competitive thing that they're alleging is taking place here.
Exactly. And, you know, we'll see what happens with it. But it's hard to look at Apple's market share and just the widespread use of it and not see something there that feels a little off, you know, from basically you need an Apple specific charger. Obviously, there's a lot of knockoff chargers, but, you know, they have essentially made it so that if you want to communicate easily with friends and family or use their digital wallet or, you know, use certain other Apple features, you have to have an Apple phone. Otherwise, it's just going to be kind of a headache. Like the people I know who have droids, like really like their droids, but they know that they're sacrificing something to have it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And for folks who are like, well, that's just brand loyalty or whatever. It's like, no. I can get a Samsung TV, but that doesn't mean that my speakers, you know, for it or the, you know, the stereo or whatever have to, you know, we can mix and match. And there's no reason why we can't be doing more of that in, you know, consumer electronics like this. But this whole thing here is just, it strikes me as keeping with something the Biden administration has been doing all along. And that's much more of a focus on the consumer.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things that I have been really blown away by and impressed by is the sheer scope of the challenges they've made against mergers and their efforts on antitrust. It's a total 180 from the last 40 years of American government that basically blessed mergers without a second thought and really allowed monopolies to take hold in everything from airlines to grocery stores and really everything in between. We saw the DOJ, or we saw the Biden administration was able to block the JetBlue Spirit merger. They're suing to block the Kroger Albertsons merger. You know,
the junk fees and the junk fees and late fees that we talked about.
Junk fees, with credit card late fees, convenience fees, all these things that really add up. And so, you know, these are things that affect people's lives, you know, and we saw a new report this week that talked about from the Federal Trade Commission, which has been incredibly aggressive in trying to fight for consumers' rights and wallets. The report found that large grocery stores and supermarkets took advantage of the supply chain issues in the pandemic to effectively, you know, raise prices and pressure suppliers to favor them over their competitors. And so, you know, big monopolies really are not good for people, whether it's in the ag sector, in the food sector, in the airline sector, in the hospital sector, in the pharmaceutical sector. No matter what you name it, we, you know, mom and pop stores are almost a thing of the past. You know, it's a shame. And at the same time, though, we are seeing a resurgent antitrust movement that is really making an impact thanks to the Biden administration.
Right. Because, I mean, you've had, you know, 40 years of Reaganism, which, you know, essentially said, or Reaganomics that said, well, you know, the businesses are going to self-police and they're going to look out for the consumer and for the worker. And, you know, obviously that hasn't been the case. And there's just been too much free rein given at such a cost to the consumer that it's nice again. Now, look, this isn't sexy. I don't know how the Biden campaign team gets out there and talks about these issues other than to say they come right to the kitchen table. They come right to your bank account. They come right to your wallet. They don't get the flash of, you know, an abortion ban or, you know, wars overseas or whatever. But these things really touch people's lives. And if the Biden campaign can figure out how to make all of this resonate, I think they're going to be much, they're going to see approval numbers go up from where they are right now.
I completely agree. I think it might be a secret weapon of sorts that they haven't quite tapped into as much as they should this year, because you can make a strong case, arguably more on this issue than almost any other issue, with the exception of maybe infrastructure, that they have created a whole new narrative around monopoly and antitrust. And that sounds really boring and academic, but, like, you know, if you only have one option to buy something, whether it's an airline ticket or an iPhone or a mobile phone or one grocery store, they can charge you whatever they want. Capitalism, you know, is supposed to be about competition and free markets and whatnot, but if there's only one option, then you don't have a choice. And so giving people a choice and increasing competition and boosting the number of you know, companies you can buy from saves money for consumers and also will lead to better products and better service. You know, right. I don't know if you've flown recently, but it's a terrible experience now.
It is. And it was never stellar, but my goodness, it's just gotten in a bad way here. And again, some more competition, it would probably be a good thing. Somewhat related, again, looking at the consumer, in this case, yep. The consumer would be somebody who took out student loans, and mm-hmm. the administration constantly looking for ways to forgive or reduce that debt. It would immediately put a jolt into the local economies of the borrowers. What's happening there?
Yeah. So on Thursday, the Biden administration announced that 78,000 more Americans who work in public service jobs, like teachers, nurses, firefighters, so on, are getting their federal student loans canceled. There is this program called the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program that was passed under President George Bush to help, you know, people who join the public sector and contribute to their communities to forgive their loans after, you know, a decade of payments. The problem was, you know, the rules and the sort of errors taken by student loan servicers basically made the program a total mess for until Biden took office. You know, in the 14 years between 2007 and 2021, only 7,000 borrowers had loans canceled under the program. In the last couple of years, through the Biden administration made reforms and tweaks to the program, they've forgiven 871,000 workers' loans. And so, you know, I can't do that math. That's like a couple thousand percent increase, maybe more. It's a ridiculous increase. And these are people who, again, work as teachers, work as nurses, work as firefighters, work in public jobs or in nonprofit jobs in some cases, that are not highly paid in most cases. And, you know, if we want people to keep doing these jobs, we need to make clear that that will be rewarded. And by, you know, adhering to this program as it was supposed to work, they are doing that. And that is huge.
Very much so. Now, here comes the contrast. The Republicans in the House, a particular group of Republicans in the House, you know, bless their hearts, I guess. They're not hiding, you know, the things that they want to do. They're coming right out and saying it. So I think some of these things deserve amplification.
Yeah, so there's this group called the Republican Study Committee. It's made up of 80% roughly of House Republican lawmakers, more than 170 of them. So it's the vast majority of Republicans in the House. They released this document that's almost 200 pages, I believe. And effectively, it calls for raising the retirement age for Social Security for future retirees. It wants to totally restructure Medicare. In a way that, you know, would threaten the program. It endorses the Life at Conception Act, which would basically ban abortion at 15 weeks and could threaten IVF care. It would it's just top to bottom a wild document to release in an election year, especially. You know, it takes points from Paul Ryan's former Medicare plan. It is a document that if, you know, voters knew about it, they would vote against Republicans in a landslide because no one wants these things.
And it's worth noting that of Wisconsin's Republican members of Congress, you know, four of them are on this study committee. Yep. That would be Scott Fitzgerald, Glenn Grothman, Brian Stile, and Tom Tiffany. You don't see Gallagher's name on there or Van Orden, not to say that they wouldn't disagree with a lot of what's in there, but again, the numbers and the aim are right there for folks. They're not fooling anybody. When somebody shows you who they are and what they would do, mm-hmm. believe them. And also remember what I said, I think, last week on this program. When groups like this talk about cutting waste, fraud, and abuse, you're the waste. You're yeah. the waste that they're talking about cutting. It's not, you know, some mythical welfare queen figure or whatever. You're the waste. You're standing between them and the next tax cut for millionaires. That's all I want people to remember. Meanwhile, the president has been, I don't like this word, but it was in one of the headlines, wooing Latino voters in Nevada and Arizona. Courier Newsroom yep. has outlets in each of those. So I'm sure you've been following our teams out there to tell us, you know, what is the challenge for the president in trying to make sure he wins those votes yeah. or wins them back.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think one of the key challenges is the sheer cost of renting in these places. You know, rent costs, housing costs in Arizona and Nevada, really everywhere. But, you know, the Southwest is one of the, you know, main places where they've just soared in the past handful of years. And that's due to a variety of reasons. You know, American, the housing supply in this country has not kept up with demand virtually anywhere. And people are flocking to the Southwest. People are flocking to the Sun Belt. And so a lot of people are leaving high cost places like California and New York, moving to places like Arizona and Nevada and Texas and North Carolina. And that's sending housing costs rising, because if you don't build enough housing, as we've learned in California, things are going to get really out of hand. And so that's happening all across the country now, unfortunately. And so, you know, that is disproportionately affecting people, you know, a lot of Latinos, a lot of young voters. And so, you know, when he was in Nevada, Biden talked about his housing, but his housing proposals in his budget, which would, you know, help create more affordable housing, help tenants with financial assistance. And so, you know, that's what he focused on. And, you know, I think that's going to be an important issue in addition to, you know, other economic issues in terms of wages, in terms of grocery prices. You know, people, you know, the economy broadly is very strong, but, you know, you can't ignore the fact that costs have gone up in a lot of sectors. And so he's not. He is talking about that every single day, which is what he should be doing.
And it bears repeating that, again, the housing crisis would have been here anyway. It's much like the labor shortage. We saw these things coming. There wasn't enough, nearly enough done to prepare for these things. And so now it's on Biden and anybody else who cares to try to somehow address these things that are happening right now. We didn't even have time to get into our last topic, which would have been the Florida Republican primary, which was supposed to be the crowning achievement for Ron DeSantis and make him the nominee, which is why we should stop predicting things way in advance of elections. Kiev Akil, national correspondent for Courier Newsroom. Thank you so much. Hope you have a great weekend.
You too, Pat. Thank you.
All right, and we will have today's history lesson and more coming up right after this. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You get me.
This was the number one song on this day in 1980. Pink Floyd topping the Hot 100 chart with Another Brick in the Wall. It would stay at the number one spot for 4 weeks. A rare hit single for the band. Their only other top 40 appearance was Money, which only got as high as number 13 on the charts way back in 1973. Today's history lesson includes a couple of composer birthdays. We've got Andrew Lloyd Webber, who is 76 today. And then there's Stephen Sondheim, who was born this day in 1930, passed away in 2021. We mentioned it before, but Pittsburgh native and jazz guitarist George Benson is 81 today. On this day in 1894, the first Stanley Cup hockey competition is held for the first time in Montreal, this day in 1894. And on this day in 1934, the first Masters tournament was held at Augusta National Golf Club. I'm sure you're saying, why did he pause? He paused because he's trying to do math at a very early hour here. to say happy 67th birthday to Stephanie Mills, the R&B singer.
You got it. Good job, buddy.
First got known in The Wiz. Play the song. It's hard sometimes.
At 6:50 in the morning. 6:50 in the morning, math should be a thing.
I've only had, as I hold up for the camera, my Roy Kent mug, because it's a Roy Kent kind of day.
I'm going to see him on Sunday.
That's right, you are. That's so cool. So yeah, it's that kind of a day. But and of course, it also plays into my biggest fear that despite all the, you know, whatever work I do to put the segment together, and I go, happy 67th birthday to Stephanie Mills, and somebody calls in or texts in, she died 2 years ago or something. It's like, you don't want to wish happy birthday to dead people. It's always poor form. So I've been taught.
I agree with that. People will say, like, happy heavenly birthday. I'm like, just say you miss them. Just say you miss them. Yep.
That'll do. On this day in 1972, the Eisenstadt v. Baird case, the U.S. Supreme Court decided on this day in 1972 that unmarried people have the right to possess contraceptives.
Boy,
any younger listeners have just fallen over to say, wait, there was a time when it was illegal for unmarried people to have contraceptives? Yes. Yes. We've come a long way, baby. In 50, 60 years, but there's people that want to drag us back to those times when, you know, women couldn't have a bank account in their own name and so many other things. So it's why we press on as, you know, people try to take us backwards. The Eagles released an album on this day in 1974. The album was On the Border, and this was the big single. Singing Already Gone coming up here. Well, I heard some people talking just the other day. On this day in 1975, Barry Manilow made his first U.S. TV appearance performing Mandy and It's a Miracle. And you're welcome that I didn't play Mandy for you, you know, at this hour of the day. That'd be like playing a Paul McCartney Christmas song, for goodness sakes. The number one song this day in 1986 was By Heart. Spare a little candle, save some light for me. On this day in 2019, Special Counsel Robert Mueller submitted his report to U.S. Attorney General William Barr. The Mueller report, however, was then, shall we say, creatively interpreted by Bill Barr for several weeks before we got to look at the real contents. And by that time, they were able to basically put the spin on it that there was a lot less coordination between the Trump campaign and, you know, Russian, shall we say, interlopers than there really was.
Yeah.
Keegan-Michael Key, the comedic actor, that's what I was looking for, 53 years old today. Reese Witherspoon is 48 years old today. And, of course, Wisconsin's own J.J. Watt turns 35 today. So congratulations, happy birthday to him and all that is going on here today. I have a national day calendar here, don't I? See, sometimes you got to flip the page here. This is here we go. Greg, this is National Talk Like William Shatner Day.
I don't know what you're talking about. I just talk like this, Pat. Why are you making fun of me?
And why did somebody think to make that a holiday? But apparently it is Talk Like William Shatner Day, which seems related to the next item here. It is National Goof Off Day. It's also National As Young As You Feel Day, which I think is supposed to help some of us, you know, embrace our youth a little bit more. But if it's really as young as you feel, and I currently feel about 78 years old, that's probably not the best kind of day to have that. It is International Seal Day. And it is World Water Day, and I can't say enough on that end of things that we take our water and our clean water for granted.
Yep.
We take it for granted so hard compared to, you know, so many other parts of the world. I know, being somebody who's been a Rotary Club member in a few different places over the years, the work that they've done in other countries to help people get access to wells or just to clean water infrastructure. And look, we face threats to it right here in Wisconsin from all manner of things, not just the PFAS, you know, the industrial chemicals, but also, you know, high capacity wells, you know, that from mega farms. Of course, you have all kinds of industrial pollution. You have, you know, runoff into fields. And these things, cleaning up this money doesn't happen for free. You know, that's when people talk, like in Wausau, we talked to Katie Rosenberg the other day about, you know, how much it's costing to take PFAS out of the water. Well, yeah, because we want that clean water. And we also want to make sure that people stop polluting it and are held accountable if they do. Coming up in our next hour, we will talk to Mark Jacob a bit from his Stop the Press's newsletter and Media Misses video series. And his theme of the week, weasel words used by media outlets. That's coming up. You're up north.